The Leafs lose a must-win game to the Boston Bruins. And did we get a sneak peek at exactly what the Leafs need to upgrade at the trade deadline in just a few days? All of that. And Morgan Rielly sets a Maple Leafs record. He made history tonight, and we will get into that later in the video. Welcome back to Leafs Digest. My name is Darius Dominguez. And guys, we've noticed that about 80% of the viewers of this channel are not actually subscribed to the channel. So if you want to do yourself a favor, hit that subscribe button to stay up to date with everything Toronto Maple Leafs. And you're going to want to, because down the stretch here, it's going to get very interesting. You know, come Friday, it's the trade deadline. Things are going to happen. The Leafs are going to make some moves, and it's pretty much been confirmed by Brad Tree Living. But without further ado, let's get into the game tonight. The Leafs lose to the Boston Bruins in what I think was a must-win game for the Leafs. But before we get into that, before we get into the specifics of the game, one thing that I thought was very interesting from Sheldon Keefe in the last game, which I thought could have carried into this game, because a lot of Leafs did not play right, did not play well. Sheldon Keefe on the benching of Nylander against the Rangers on Saturday night. We're increasing the accountability of all of our players in these situations where it's purposefully stepping outside of the structure and system. And he went on to say, you know, Nylander stepped outside the structure to cheat for offense. And he's saying that there is less tolerance on my end for that. And honestly, I saw a little bit of that tonight. And on the defensive end, we'll get to it. Not great. Not a very good performance from the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight. But without further ado, let's get into the starting lineup of tonight's game. Not much movement on the front end. I mean, things have been pretty much the same for a little while. On defense, though, Lyubushkin seems to be okay. He passed all the tests he needed to. He slots in with Morgan Rielly once again. And the rest of the pairings are pretty much the same. I thought it was pretty interesting that Brody and Liljegren were pairing one, and Wall gets to start tonight as well. And it's good to see Joseph Wall back as well. But again, just not a great game for the Leafs. I mean, they had a really, really hard time getting in the zone against the Bruins. Bruins were really forcing them to the outside. And I mean, look at this picture here, the screenshot here. I mean, the Leafs have nothing on this, and it happened all night, and it continued to happen. The Leafs gave up two not great goals. I mean, the Bruins got up pretty early, 2-0, and then they made it 3-0 shortly thereafter in the second. And like, the Leafs just had nothing, and the Bruins capitalized on their chances. And I know the Leafs hit a couple posts, but in terms of effort, there wasn't really a lot there from a lot of the guys. In a big game, you'd like to see the intensity a little higher, especially considering the Leafs are probably going to end up playing the Bruins in the first round. And this was a game to fight for, you know, seeding, to fight for home ice advantage going into the playoffs against probably this team, and you play them again later this week in Boston on the second half of a back-to-back. It just seems a little unacceptable to me for you to, you know, spit out that performance against the Bruins, to be honest. That was terrible. One other thing I thought was interesting, I mean, a lot of people have been on the refs, including Sheldon Keefe, recently, and, you know, the official accidentally blew his whistle during a delayed penalty while the Leafs had possession twice in the same period in this game. Absolutely insane. I've never seen that before. How do you mess that up? The Bruins on both plays weren't even close to touching the puck, and it happened twice. I understand one time you make a mistake, everyone makes mistakes. I would understand, I'd be pissed, but I understand. But twice in the same period, what are we doing here? And the rest of the game, I know game management and everything like that, like, the refs don't actually call the game as it is. If they did, the NHL would look very different, right? They do a lot of game management. They try to even up the calls. Maybe a team will have 3 power plays to 2 on one night, or they'll be even 3-3 or something like that, right? But the rest of the way, it was pretty brutal. So again, just twice in the same period was absolutely atrocious. Like, that, you got to do a better job. But anyway, we'll focus more on the Leafs. I hate, and let me know what you think in the comments. I hate the fact that the Leafs do not play up to the Bruins' intensity every single time they play. And that goes for in the playoffs as well. They never match their intensity. The way the Bruins forecheck, it's not even like a, it could lend to a structural thing as well, the way the Bruins play, right? But they're forechecking, just their hustle on defense and the way they all buy into the structure and the way they play with intensity. The Leafs just don't have, they just can't match that. And I have not seen that, at least against the Bruins. I've seen it with other teams. They play the Rangers very well, for example, right? And they won again on Saturday night. It was a coin flip, could have went either way in the shootout, but they won at the end of the day, and they were right there with the Rangers. For some reason, with the Bruins and a couple other teams, they do not match the intensity. I mean, you go down 3-0 midway through the game. It's unacceptable. You're at home. You're in the middle of a home stand, And, you know, people pay good money to watch these games at Scotiabank Arena. And you put in a performance like that halfway through the game, it felt to me like the game was over already halfway through. I mean, you don't, the Leafs are the best team in the NHL when trailing, honestly, right? They can always come back. We've seen it. But it honestly felt like, you know, in high intensity situations, they fold. And I don't like that. And it happened again today. I think that's concerning. And again, talking about folding and high intensity situations in games you need to win, the Leafs, I saw this on the broadcast, the Leafs are terrible against the Atlantic Division this year. They are seventh against the Atlantic Division if they were only playing within their own division. That is not ideal. I mean, they've had a tough time. We saw this year against the Ottawa Senators, again, the Bruins, all every team basically except for the Montreal Canadiens, who they play on Saturday night. It's going to be very interesting. They play the Bruins. It's all Atlantic Division week this week, all right? So should be interesting to watch if they pick up any points here. They absolutely have to against the Montreal Canadiens and Buffalo Sabres, and you'd like to see them beat the Bruins. You have to beat the Bruins. I mean, these are points that you're giving up to a team you're fighting for home ice advantage for. It's not ideal, right? But to move on to another thing I want to talk about, the Leafs' power play is so predictable. So predictable. We saw it again tonight. They were struggling. They got a, you know, we were talking about game management. Two high-sticking calls. The refs have to call those. You get two power plays at the start of the game. You can't convert. And then the rest of the way, any power plays they got, I think maybe three or four, I don't know for sure. I think it was three. You don't score. And you don't look necessarily dangerous. And the whole power play looks like it's passing around until Matthews gets open, or maybe Nylander, and it's not working, right? It's just very predictable, and they have to adjust. That's another thing the Leafs have a problem with. They have to adjust. And the Bruins are a team that, you know, come at you fast and, you know, make it hard to adjust on the fly. But in between periods, you have to do that. And I think that is a weakness of the Leafs, and we've seen it for a couple of years. And if they end up playing the Bruins in the playoffs, it's going to be very interesting. And Matthew Nye's penalty, Craig Simpson suggesting that, you know, Charlie McAvoy pulled a veteran move by literally flopping once he felt the stick in his hands and drawing that penalty. What are we talking about, guys? He flopped to draw the... It's not a veteran move. He just flopped to draw the penalty, and it ended up going his way. But he fell. That was... Nyes did not, you know, hook him enough or trip him enough for him to fall like that. He fell. He felt it, and he fell. It's... I don't know if that's a veteran move. Anybody could do that, really. But I thought that was interesting as well. And honestly, like I mentioned before, Liljegren and that pairing, the Brody Liljegren pairing, they've been good. They've been good, but they struggled in this game big time. They absolutely struggled. And, you know, like James Merrill says here, real tough night for one Leafs pairing in particular. And can you guess who? Obviously, just mentioned it, Brody Liljegren. Look at the Corsi, the Fenwick two, and, you know, the score adjusted goals. Like, the other pairings were not fantastic tonight by any means, but when you look at those numbers and how they stack up, by far the worst pairing tonight. And I mean, Liljegren, even on the fourth goal, not a good showing for Liljegren today. And it almost makes me think, in games like this, he's not good in high pressure situations. I think he's good, and maybe he has a ceiling we haven't seen yet. Like, maybe he can still reach another level, but in terms of high pressure situations and games with high intensity like this and playoff games, maybe that's why Sheldon Keefe didn't play him the last couple of years, right? Or especially 2 years ago when everyone was, you know, calling for Liljegren to get into the lineup. Maybe that's why, right? Because he seems to kind of go away in situations like that. And I don't think that's good. You need more guys who are going to, you know, play their best in situations like this. And that could be a sign. Are the Leafs looking at upgrading at that position and possibly pushing Liljegren down the lineup? Maybe not even down the lineup, out of the lineup. I think that'll be interesting to watch too. Are they going to acquire more right shot defensemen? We'll have videos on that later in the week and obviously tomorrow. So don't worry about that. But we'll end on some positive news. All right. Well, I'll leave you with some positive news because there was a lot of bad and honestly a lot of apathy in tonight's game. Not a lot from the big guys. Tavares with a nice goal. Came out of nowhere. Snipe. Great shot. And the Leafs thing got shut out. We'll get to that in a second as well. Great shot from him. All right. That was fantastic to see. And the other thing I thought was very interesting, because I knew he was creeping up on it, but Morgan Rielly makes history. And this might shock you a little bit. All right. Because it definitely shocked me just because of the names on the list. But Morgan Rielly, With his third period assist on John Tavares' goal, Morgan Riley has registered his 459th career point and has surpassed Tim Horton. That's right, the guy the restaurant is named after, for the third most points by a Leafs defenseman in Maple Leafs history. The list now reads Borja Salming, Thomas Cabrelle, Morgan Riley, and Tim Horton. So for as much, you know, crap as we give these Leafs and, you know, very little playoff success, this has been a great group, and they've had a lot of individual success, especially in, you know, when you look at Leafs history. So for him to be third all time in that category is pretty impressive. So good for Morgan Riley. And I mean, he continues to climb. It looks like he's going to be a Maple Leaf for a long time, and the fan base loves him. And I mean, if you look at what he did in the playoffs last year too, like I said, he's probably going to be a Leaf for life. So he is going to continue to climb that ladder. I just don't think he gets to Borja Salming. Borja Salming's a legend. And I mean, if when you look at those numbers, it's crazy. And the last thing to mention too, 206 straight games without being shut out. I think that is something to celebrate. That is an amazing accomplishment for the Leafs. Most in a long time. And I don't even know who's second on the list, but I know it's the Leafs in first by a long shot. So they haven't been shut out in years. So that is just fantastic. Little celebrations. I know it's nothing to be, you know, too worked up about, but nice little milestone for the Leafs there. But let me know what you think in the comments. Do the Leafs go away when there's, you know, high pressure and high intensity situations and games that they absolutely have to win? They never play up to their opponent's intensity. And against the Atlantic Division, they have been poor this season. And the rest of the way this week is Atlantic Division teams. I mean, you play the Sabres on Wednesday. You play the Bruins again, huge game on Thursday, second half of a back-to-back. And then on Saturday night, you play the Montreal Canadiens. Huge matchup. Huge matchup. So that's going to be very interesting to keep an eye on. And I mean, the day before the game with the Habs, it is the trade deadline, and we will keep you posted. So let me know what you think of the Leafs game against the Bruins tonight in the comments, and who you think the Leafs should acquire at the trade deadline. Nick and I will keep you covered on all of that with a video tomorrow and throughout the week.